Jonathan is going to get a turn to speak this time. I spoke last time, but I just want to start with saying that the beauty of Christ in his body is just amazing. And the beauty of Christ here at Maranatha is so refreshing, so powerful, so beautiful. In all the different ways that it's flowing that we've been hearing about this morning, and also in our lives and to Latvia. And just thank you for just this last year for once again blessing us with food and a care package when we came back after Christmas, and a special Christmas gift. And just, I mean, you guys have been involved in us finding a car, finding a house, finding furnishings, and it's like we're just back, but we're also leaving in just a few weeks. And I've only had one or two of you over, and I wish I could have all of you over. So what we're going to do is we're going to have an open house on Saturday. And so from 10 to 1, and we'll put it on Facebook so you can RSVP so we know how much food to get. And yeah, if you're available, if you want to pop in and see our home, see what you've been praying for, see what God has been doing in our lives, you are very welcome, even for a very brief time, if you want to come for 15 or 30 minutes, if that's all you have. So we do live in Steinbeck, so you'll have to travel a little bit, but we don't mind traveling here, so hopefully you don't mind traveling there. And we'll give you our address on Facebook. It'll be a reason to look.
As Deborah mentioned, we are just so thankful for you as a congregation. You have ministered to us over the years, even though we've only been here for short visits, and now it's going to extend. So for those of you that do not know, eventually we'll be going back and forth. So we'll be returning to Latvia in March and then coming back next year. And then starts the process of being 7 months in Latvia and 5 months here. So we'll have two homes. So we'll get to know you even more and better. And we're looking forward to that. You are special people. We can say that from our hearts, from all that you've shown us, from all the love that you've given us. Thank you. Thank you. Now, in our ministry over the years, we've realized how important it is to come alongside. And you've experienced that yourselves, too, at pivotal times in your life, when you had someone to say an encouraging word, to give you a strong hug, or maybe a kick. At times that is also needed. But just to come alongside, to champion you, to encourage you to continue. According to many polls in North America, the vast majority of Christian leaders, they don't end well. They don't finish well. There's a great deal of burnout, or they fall into sin or stagnancy. And this situation is the same in Latvia, of course, and even worse. A few years back, Deborah and I personally experienced the blackness of a burnout. And as a result of all that experience, the focus of our ministry in Latvia has crystallized. We've been there for about 25 years. And that is to help believers, especially Christian leaders, flourish in all aspects of their lives for the long term, not just for the short term, but the long term. And part of what we do to see this happen is to come alongside through coaching, through mentoring, primarily church planners, pastors, missionaries, lay leaders, but just really anyone that is open and needing. I've experienced it myself. Someone to come alongside of me, to mentor, to coach me. It is super important for longevity of our Christian lives and for our Christian ministry, wherever we're at, in the workplace, at home, or in our, if you're doing Christian ministry. But besides mentoring and coaching, we're also part of a ministry that helps believers flourish by providing prayer counseling. Some of you have experienced what prayer counseling is all about. But for those of you that do not know, during the prayer counseling session, A participant experiences receiving and extending forgiveness, the healing of inner wounds, and freedom from bondages, and even the occult. This ministry is akin to surgery. In a relatively short period of time, the Holy Spirit does a concentrated work, removing barriers and bringing healing and health to that which is sick. On top of that, we're also part of a Europe-wide ministry to provide for specifically missionaries at this time, spiritual life retreats, and other resources for spiritual formation. The focus here is to help people grow in ever-increasing intimacy with Jesus Christ and to grow in Christ-likeness so that people are filled up and giving out of fullness, not out of emptiness or shallowness. If prayer counseling is like surgery, then this ministry is more like physical therapy or having a health coach. So we encourage and give opportunities and tools so that missionaries can live a regular, spiritually healthy life. And part of this is helping people experience and regularly practice certain spiritual disciplines that fit and are suited for them, such as solitude, Bible meditation, journaling, silence, worship, sacrifice, etc. Now, in this past year, these two ministries that were separated have come together, which is really exciting for me because I'm involved in both. And both ministry teams are eager to learn from the other ministry. So the Europe-wide Spiritual Life Ministry wants to learn more about prayer counseling and provide such counseling, prayer counseling, at the spiritual formation retreats for missionaries. And the Latvian prayer counseling team is praying and planning to provide a spiritual formation retreat as a follow-up for healing prayer. So I'm pretty excited about this because oftentimes people only see their one aspect of ministry, which is okay, but it's very difficult to learn from another and to incorporate. And this is happening. And just to see how when we use our gifts and we're open to receiving from other branches of Christianity or other branches of ministry, that we can grow strong and more full and see the work of Christ more powerfully in our midst. So as we think about believers flourishing, I just want to share a little bit of what God has been teaching me about us flourishing. Now let me ask a question. A good coach asks questions. So I'm going to start with a question for you. And just think with me about these questions. When was the last time you felt overwhelmed and exhausted? Soul weary. Another question, especially for those that can't remember that time, when was the last time you felt deeply inadequate? Perhaps you felt ignorant, or perhaps immature in your actions, or you just felt empty spiritually? What area in your life did you feel this way? Now, when we think about those moments, we often don't feel very good. But I want to put before you that these moments are precious. Because at those moments, when we feel tired, when we feel ignorant, when we feel empty or inadequate, Jesus gives us a specific invitation. If you have your Bibles with you, you could turn to Matthew chapter 11. verses 25 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. And at that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children such as these. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Now all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus here gives us a precious invitation for those precious moments in our lives. He says, come to me. When you're that way, when you're feeling that way, come to me. And I will give you three special gifts. I will give you soul rest. I will give you a calling that fits who you are. And I will give you the training appropriate for your calling together with me. More coaching questions. Where do you run to when you are exhausted? What gives you energy when you're tired? Where is Jesus when you are relaxing? In our exhaustion, do we run to Jesus or do we avoid Jesus? See, when I'm tired, I want to avoid anything that is connected with extra stress. Don't you? Anything that is a burden, an extra burden. I want to rest. And if Jesus is connected to stress and a heavy burden, then we will avoid him when we're tired. And that is part of some of our problem for some of us, that Jesus is related to a heavy religious burden. Now we have to remember that this invitation was to the Jews. It was the believers of that day. And they had a phrase back then during Jesus' day that the yoke, there was a yoke, and the yoke was the yoke of the law, which indicated the requirements to fulfill the Torah, the first five books of Moses. Now, trying to fulfill the law without the Spirit and knowing the heart of God, of course, is a yoke that's unbearably heavy. And with this yoke of the law was an added multiple laws that scribes and Pharisees added, which thought people needed to safeguard them. Now, today's Christians can just as easily take on themselves a similar religious burden. The church, ministry, reading God's word, prayer, and even Jesus is connected with an overwhelming responsibility, which we try to carry but never can in the long run. Some of us have gone through this, some of us are going through that, and some of us have a tendency to fall into this. And if we don't constantly know, and if we don't know the heart of God, we'll be deeply convinced that Jesus is dissatisfied with us. And so we would try to serve in order to gain God's approval, which is a big burden. Then we try to appear more spiritual than we are, which of course adds to the burden. And then we try to serve others in our own strength, another burden. We try to minister in areas that don't fit how God has created, an extra burden. And in time, we just want rest. So we find our rest in other things. Not bad things, actually good things, relationships or hobbies. But without Jesus being intimately connected together with us in these forms of rest, it won't last. They become part of the burden. They ensnare us with bondage and addictions that take strength from us. And this continues until we hear Jesus' invitation. And we need to hear it continuously. We do. It's not a one-time thing. We need to hear Jesus' continual invitation to us to come to him, to get to know him and his heart. Now, what's in our heart becomes apparent in our first reaction to a situation. From out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That is biblical. It is our default attitude and action, what is in our hearts. Jesus declares here and in other places, what is his heart? What is his default reaction to us? Gentleness, humility. He is for us. He is gentle and humble in heart. That is his default reaction. The father with the prodigal son, there was no wrestling. How should I react to the prodigal? There was just a running to, without even thinking. It came out of his heart. His heart was for his son, no matter what he did. Jesus' heart is for those that are weary and heavy laden. He is gentle and humble in heart. In Psalms 34:18, the Lord is near those who are brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. And he is also near to those that are weary in their soul. So it is safe to come to Jesus when you are bone tired or feeling immature, inadequate. But he asks us to exchange our overbearing burden for something that we deeply need, his yoke. And that's the second thing he gives, the yoke. Yoke is a piece of wood. Of course, some of you come from the farm. Some of you have had generations of farmers, so you know what a yoke is. But for those of you that don't know, it's just a piece of wood that farmers use to put on horses or ox, to bring them together in order for them to move things, to do and accomplish a valuable task, such as tilling or seeding the land, gathering the harvest, transferring something heavy from one place to another. And Jesus' yoke is a value-filled calling. It's a task that he gives to us. Now, in general, this calling encompasses the great command, which is love the Lord with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. And in a wider sense, this calling is that we're created in the image of God, and so we are to reflect God's glory and love and to rule together with him and care for his creation. Now, this might sound like a heavy burden, this yoke. And it's strange that Jesus didn't say, come to me and I will take your burden and you will have rest. No, he said, come to me and you will have find rest, but take my yoke upon you. And that is the process of finding rest. Take something else onto your shoulders. Give me your burden, and I will give you a different type of yoke. Jesus knows us. He knows our need and what we were created for. Our need is for loving, acceptant relationship, of course. And so that's why he asks and invites people to come to him, to be with him, the deepest relational foundation relationship that we need. But what we were created for is also his yoke, the calling he has on our lives. And without this clear calling and purpose, our souls can't find rest. We become dysfunctional. And Jesus knows us so well that he knows to tailor his yoke to us as individuals. The word easy, it says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. The word easy in Greek is krestos, which means fitting or appropriate. In other words, Jesus' yoke, his particular calling for you, fits who you are and what you've been created for. It won't be too big, and it won't be too small. It will fit you. Jesus' calling fits your abilities, your personality, your spiritual gifts, your passion. My calling is to come alongside, to be a Barnabas to Paul's, a Jonathan to David. I remember Daniel saying one time that his part in the body of Christ and his calling was to be the toe of the body. Is that correct? And that is to give balance to the body of Christ. So he has a particular calling for you. And if you don't know what that is, ask. He wants to give it to you. And ultimately, this calling is his, not ours. And therefore, it is easy and it is light. Jesus is together with us, leading the process. One interpretation of this yoke, this image of yoke, is that Jesus is one of the bulls, and we're the other one, but we're like a small little pony. And Jesus is under one side of the yoke, and we're on the other side. But he bears the greatest weight. Another interpretation is that Jesus is the farmer leading the process. I believe it's both. Jesus is together with us in our task and calling. He bears the greatest weight. He is leading the process. And in any case, we can carry Jesus' yoke, and it is easy and light, only together with him as we follow his lead. Now, here's another thing, that Jesus' yoke fits our limitations. Now, that might sound maybe contradictory for what you've been hearing, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we need to remember that we shouldn't take on more than what God gives us. Romans 14, 17 talks about the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if we're not experiencing joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, then something is wrong. Perhaps we've taken on too much. So we need to have humility. We are not God, nor are we the Savior. God is unlimited. He uses many things and people to accomplish his will. But we are not the center of the universe. We are not the Savior, nor is everything dependent upon us. God will use us. He will multiply the small that we give him. And it's okay. When you see someone in need, and you realize you only have two fishes and five loaves, then give that. And Jesus will use that. He'll multiply. We do not need to squeeze out something that we do not have. We give what we have, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. We have to remember that Jesus spent most of his life as an unassuming carpenter, without great sermons or big miracles. And he lived, even with all the incredible needs surrounding him. And he lived, and he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And then when there was the right time, there was the right time for him to start speaking. He did it in God's timing. I don't know about you, but I want to run ahead. I want to grow quicker. I want to do more. God has a certain pace for us. He knows what is best. So when you have an opportunity to minister, if someone asks you to do something, pray about it. If you don't have time to pray long, just pray right there. Listen to God. Say yes or no. based on what you understand him saying to you. And one last thing is, it's important to observe the Sabbath principle. And this is really difficult. I think it's just as difficult for missionaries and pastors than it is, maybe even more difficult, than for those that are not. We need to regularly cease working. Put the cell phone away. You're not going to miss out. You won't miss a crisis. It just doesn't happen. Focus on receiving from Jesus during those sabbatical times, whether it's a day or 2 days or 2 hours. Have regular sabbatical moments with Jesus and receive from Jesus. And identify what gives you energy physically, emotionally, spiritually, and do it together with Christ. If you find yourself doing it away from Christ, then perhaps it's not the best for you. You need to have a discussion with Jesus about it. Excuse me. So what do we do? We come to Jesus, we take on Jesus' yoke, his calling, particular calling with him, and we learn from Jesus. And this is the last thing, that he'll equip us for what we need. We have rest when we constantly learn from Jesus. The word disciple was just a normal, everyday word back in those days. It was not religious, you know. It was a person who learns, who is in training under the tutelage of a teacher or master. This is our identity. Isn't it interesting? We are disciples of Christ, and that means that we are, by nature, learners. We want to learn. We want to learn. We want to grow. We want to find out what God has for us. Now think of the best teacher you've ever had, perhaps in elementary school or high school or in college or outside of that, maybe a pastor, the best teacher. Now, Jesus is 100 times better, smarter, more patient than that particular teacher. Jesus is humble and gentle. He won't yell at you or shame you when you fall or you don't understand. And he knows how to challenge you. Now, psychologists realize how important and healthy it is to take on responsibility and challenge. Too little challenge leads to apathy, depression, and interestingly enough, exhaustion. Too much challenge leads to overstress, desire to give up, and exhaustion. Jesus knows how to stretch us, but he won't give us more than we can handle. Jesus knows the right amount and the right pace for us to learn and grow. And we never stop learning. And I don't believe in the new heavens and in the new earth that we'll stop then. I think we'll continue to grow because God's truth is infinite. So we'll continue to grow, continue to learn. It's just part of who we are. We are disciples, not only now, but forevermore. So how do we do? What do we learn? Well, ask Jesus. Ask Jesus, what do you want me to learn? And start with those. Sometimes Jesus gives us the option. He's like, where do you want to start? Because Jesus is really good about that. He personalizes everything with us. So what areas in your thinking or in your character do you think you are mature, that you want to grow in? Start with those areas. How does Jesus want to live in our lives, in our family, in our workplace, in our neighborhood? Remember, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He learned obedience through suffering. He also learned. He showed us how to learn. Jesus' disciples understood that their prayer life wasn't like Jesus, so they asked. You know, they saw Jesus go often into prayer, into the desert to pray by himself. And so they thought, wow. Now, if Jesus needs to pray, I certainly need to pray. So Jesus, teach us. How do we do that? How can we pray like you? if you see that you worry a lot or complain when it is difficult, then ask, Jesus, teach me contentment in all such situations. Paul learned contentment, he says in Philippians 4. He said, when it was difficult and when it was easy, I learned to be content in all situations. It was a process for him. If you find it difficult to feed on God's word, ask him. And again, all of this is together in the body of Christ. I don't want to separate that, because the body of Christ is also part of Christ, of what he's doing in your lives. So we, of course he does things individually, but corporately together. So come alongside, ask someone to help. If you see someone in an area that have grown and gone forward and you feel that the Lord is wanting you to teach you in that area, ask for help. 8 years ago, I really started actively listening to God. Now, before that, it wasn't that I wasn't listening to God, but I started to ask him specific questions and really listen to receive impressions, words, like you experience in your congregation. And one question that has come up is, what do you want to teach me in this season, Lord, in this particular season? And then when he shows it to me, to follow that, to sit with that, to learn about that, not just to say, oh, that's great, I learned it for this day, and then go on to the next thing, right? Because we want to go as quick as possible. We want as much as information and knowledge to feel good about our lives. But God wants to grow us deeply in our convictions, in our character, and that takes time. It takes time. I heard a question that David would ask during the nights where he had insomnia and woke up with anxiety. And David was preaching. This was, I believe, last year. And he said, he would ask Jesus, what do you think of me? Or Father, what do you think about me? And for a long time, I just camped out there. And then I added two other questions. I said, I know you want to teach me what you believe, what you think about me. And you want me for that question to bubble up inside and for me to have a communication with you along those lines. And so there was two other questions that came up too is, Father, who are you? Very simple question. Who are you? What do you want to show to me right now? Right now, what do you want to show to me? And Father, what do you think about so-and-so? Especially if I was struggling with that so-and-so. Father, what do you think about so-and-so? And it was amazing. Sometimes God gave me specific things that, changed my thinking and my attitude. And it was a specific word or impression. Sometimes just asking that question, even though there was no impression or word, changed my attitude. It's just being in this constant communion with Jesus that changes us. So Lord, what do you want me to learn in this season? And that's his invitation. When we lack strength, when we lack wisdom, when we lack character, it's a perfect opportunity and a precious moment. We can respond to Jesus' invitation to come to him, to take on his yoke, and to learn from him. And then we'll find rest for our souls, a calling and a responsibility that fits us, learning hand in hand with Jesus, now, every day, purposefully, without end. Let's pray. Father, I just want to pause right now and just thank you that you work together with us. I thank you, Lord, that you have something so wonderful in mind. No matter what we experienced yesterday, Lord, whether it was wonderful or very difficult, or difficultly wonderful or wonderfully difficult, it doesn't make a difference. Today, Lord, you want to continue, and you invite us to come to you, to give up our burdens, to take your yoke, that strategic calling on our lives that is fitted for us, and to learn from you, continually learn all about you, all about the world that you created and what you've given us, so that we know how to give on to others. So Lord, I ask you now to, if we don't have a clear idea of what you want to teach us or the purpose that you've given us, I pray that you would reveal that as we come to you. Thank you, Lord, that we can sit with you and we can walk with you and we can even run with you. If we can experience rest for our souls in each stage. Amen.
As I have watched people in ministry, leaders, lay people, I've watched myself, there's usually a recognition of when you see that a person has come to that place where they've come to the end of themselves. And they just cannot do it anymore. And they cry out to God. And start walking in step with him. In his yoke. There's a flow. Something beautiful. Where it's not done from an energy of trying to make it happen. But a flow of being aligned with the Holy Spirit. Your word, Helene, fits in with Jonathan about being do-beers or be-doers. That one stuck with me. And I just want to encourage you, as I heard Jonathan, that comes from his heart. I've seen him walk that journey. And I see the flow and change in your life as a result of that choice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing it with us. It's precious, and it's so, so good. Okay, I'm going to let you go, but you know, I was struggling the beginning of this year after Christmas. One of those questions he asked about, you know, when you're just not feeling it, just don't know what to do. And so the first thing your mind goes is, okay, got to get busy. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to change this. And God said, take your dog for a walk. That was his answer. He gave us this sweet-natured dog. And I've been walking my dog every morning. And I've had some sweet, sweet times with the Holy Spirit. It's drinking it in. And I can feel the level is rising. Right? It wasn't from getting busier, though. Bless you. drink it in. There will be prayer team at the front. There's a burden you're carrying that you want to lay down. Pray with someone. You're invited to come to the front. Take his yoke upon you. Amen. Oh, fellowship lunch, congregational meeting next Sunday, and benevolence offering. Bless you.